All right, step 10. Step 10, 11, and 12. In recovery, every day is a gift of freedom from the obsession. But freedom is not free. Some of you have read some of my other stuff about freedom is not free. Recovery is not permanent. As the big book notes, my disease is not cured, no matter how long I abstain or work the program. What I have, it says, is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. So staying free requires daily work. The daily work at a minimum includes steps 10, 11, and 12, but it also includes living the principles of all the steps and the traditions and using the tools, especially the plan of eating, reading, writing, sponsorship, meetings, phone. So step 10, continue to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Two parts. First, what I call quality control, a daily inventory of how am I doing? How am I doing living my new way of life, especially the solutions I identified in steps 6 and 7. Back to that action plan. If I don't have a clear action plan of who it is I'm trying to become and what I'm trying to become, then I'm just drifting and I get nothing. As somebody was sharing before. So I must ask, how am I doing? And check up on that. Second part is cleaning up problems, cleaning up hurts and regrets as I go. No need to start accumulating the kind of stuff I got rid of in step 9. Notice I said, how am I doing living my new way of life? I'm focusing on my positives that I'm trying to do, not negatives. Yes, there's that phrase that says, keep looking for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. What about the other side of that equation? How am I doing living in those solutions? For some reason, I find it so much easier and more worthwhile to focus on the good rather than the negative. And all my inventories are about focusing on the positive. I'll give you some examples of that as we go. The first time through the steps, through 1 to 9, I began a transformation in all aspects of my life. I had put down the trigger foods. I had a weighed and measured food plan that I committed. Lost a lot of weight. Emotionally identified key flaws in my thinking that were at the root of the feelings that led to using the food as medication. In 6 and 7, I began working on changing those things. Spiritually, my mind had begun to open to at least two important concepts. First, that I wasn't actually in control of anything except my own actions and reactions. Secondly, that there was some power deep within me that I had tapped into, even though I didn't understand it. So sometimes I call it a new set of ideas, sometimes an inner resource to which the steps had given me access. Sometimes the collective power of the steps and traditions. Sometimes I would just say, okay, I'll call it God. And my wife would smile, or my sponsor would smile as I used the word. It became pretty obvious at some point that I can't grow or stay in fit spiritual condition without a process for monitoring how I'm doing. Old emotions and habits have a way of creeping back, like resentments. I may think I've gotten rid of them, only to find that something is creeping back in, maybe in another form. So step 10 continues the process which began in step 4, learning to constantly assess my thinking and my words and my actions and making adjustments. I have a lot of different ways of doing a 10-step inventory. The simplest is, the big book says every day, continuously, ever, forever and ever, watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Okay. Do that. I've asked why sometimes I look at the questions in the big book inventory that they're actually listed in the bottom of in step 11. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonesty, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with someone else? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others? With hindsight, I can see the most valuable long-term thing that I tried to do in this personality transformation that I was going through was to measure myself against the thinking and stuff that I had come that I had listed coming out of steps 6 and 7. These were the opposites. What I'm looking for is the opposites of my flaws. So, asking myself, part of the 10th, am I being accountable rather than blaming and playing the victim? Am I living in acceptance rather than anger and resentment? Am I surrendering to reality rather than trying to control and manage the unmanageable? Am I living in forgiveness rather than hate and animosity? Am I being tolerant rather than judging and criticizing everybody? Am I being authentic rather than phony? Is my best good enough rather than perfectionistic? Perfectionistic is a defect. Striving for excellence is an asset. Nothing wrong with striving for assets, right? It's actually pasted someplace on my desk here someplace, but it's okay to strive for excellence. I actually looked at that before I came today to talk to you guys, and think about nothing wrong with trying for excellence, but don't try perfectionism or you're going to screw yourself, right? So however it is, it is, and then I will let it go. So I ask my question sometimes, how am I doing living in compassion rather than indifference? How am I doing being proactive rather than reactive? How am I doing living in the present rather than the past? How am I doing focusing on the solution rather than the problem? Stuff like that. Some of the quickies that I use, when I say I have a lot of different methods, I do in my, I have a daily worksheet that I use, and I have about, I don't know, maybe a dozen different kinds of 10 steps in there. These are the quickies. How was it living? By the way, I do my inventory in the mornings, not the night. Big book talks about at night looking for these things. I did that for the first couple of years. The night didn't work so well for me. So it interfered with my sleep for some reason. So I do it in the mornings now as part of my 11-step work, as I'll talk to you in a minute about. So when I say, how was it living with me yesterday? I'm talking about yesterday. How was it working with me yesterday? Do I like who I was yesterday? Any amends or adjustments I need to make today based on yesterday? And I do sometimes a quickie based on the slogans. Slogans are very important to me. I see the slogans as a shorthand for many of the wisdoms in our program. So I literally will do this one every once in a while. How am I doing living in one day at a time? Am I living today in today, or I'm wasting energy regretting the past or worrying about the future? How am I doing living in first things first? Am I overwhelmed by all I have to do, the end result being I end up paralyzed and do nothing? I used to tell somebody, I have 1,000 things to do, and that wise sponsor said, well, who made the list on? Of course, that's the problem. I made the damn list. So I have to think about that. What's first things first? Easy does it. Am I overworking, overplaying, overstudying, overplanning, overeating, over everything? Propensity for that. Live and let live. Do I accept others as they are, or do I impose my values, my shoulds and oughts on them? The result being I'm always in conflict, if not outwardly. Certainly, in my mind, I'm in conflict because I'm putting all these expectations on them. And lastly, let go and let God. Am I in charge of the world? Am I leaving in God's hands all the things that I cannot change or control? So, doing a 10 step every day can help me feel better about myself because I'm able to see that I'm making progress. It also helps me clear my brain and get in today where the action is, right? Even with huge progress in the personal transformation, I cannot become complacent because there'll always be new things coming up, as well as some old ones that need to continue to hang around. My sense of personal worth will increase as I gain insight and stop being afraid to make mistakes. If there's nothing I've found out in my life, it's that I have to keep growing. Yes, I'm in this last phase, I call it the third phase of my life, which has to do with pain and disability, but I can't, it's not fixable that I have now. But it just is. And not, but like God still seems to have things for me to do. So I keep going and growing, and still keeping direct, trying to learn new things all the time. So I am permanently trying to keep growing. Step 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. My shorthand, I have shorthand for everything, right? My shorthand way of looking at this step is find God, listen to what he has to say, and then do it. Remember, as I said earlier, 10, 11, and 12 are about holding on to the freedom I've gained from taking the first nine steps. These steps are not optional, right? These steps are not optional. Terminology, definitions again, prayer. Prayer is simply talking, reaching out to make contact with a power greater than myself. Meditating, simply quieting my mind so I can try to make contact. Conscious contact, bringing into my awareness the presence of a spirit within me bigger than me. The calm, quiet feeling that can calm and strengthen me. His will for us. Remember, it says His will for us. God's will, not mine. God is not Santa Claus, as far as I know. Don't waste time giving God instructions, right? But there's a line in the big book, page 87, paragraph 2. It says, we may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. I can ask God to help me help you. Help me when I talk to her or to him or whatever. Help me be of use. So I'm asking for myself, but it's to help others. My 11th step every morning is basically pack my spiritual packing for the day, right? It sets the tone, attitude, and path I'll be following. It's also for me a daily renewal of my faith. I always say if I don't renew my subscription every morning, it seems to run out sometime during the day. So my job every morning is to try to connect with God. The old timers say report for duty. Not quite that simple for me, but I do know that if I miss the meeting with God in the morning, sometime before the day is out, I'm going to regret it. Days go so much smoother when God and I are on the same page, when we have packed together for the day. So I have a lengthy process that I do. I just run it through it quickly with you. Now I'm retired, so I have enough time, as much time as I want for this, right? If you've got two little kids to make breakfast for and get them off to school and then get yourself off to work, things can be a little different. But I'm going to tell you what I do. I have a worksheet in front of me, as I said, with lots and lots and lots of stuff on it. What do I do? Opening prayer. Good, by the way, I take about 45 minutes for this usually. So as I said, I have the time. So opening prayer. Good morning, God. Thank you for the gift of another day. Help me use it well. Guide my thinking, my words, and my actions today, God. Help me stay aligned with your will for me in all parts of my life. All parts of my life. I will trust you to show me my path and to give me the courage and strength to follow on. Then I write down three lists in my journal. Every day, every day, every day, I write these down. My food plan for the day. I write down my work plan for the day. That's basically my to-do list. And thirdly, I do what I call an attitude plan. My attitude that I'm going to try to keep on for the day. The attitude plan typically has words such as positive, hopeful, enthusiastic, surrender, focus. Matter of fact, that's what I wrote down this morning. Those were the words that had to do with you guys and what I was doing here today. Stay focused, stay focused on this stuff, et cetera. Stay positive, stay hopeful, enthusiasm. Three, I do my inventory. We've already talked about the inventory. Fourthly, I read the For Today book. And I write every single day. I write on the For Today. It's relevance to me in my journal, right? It's relevance. And that can be 5 or 10 words. It might be 3 or 4 lines. Why is this important to me? I do the same thing then for the Voices of Recovery, write its relevance for me in my journal. Then I write a gratitude list. It's always 10 or more, it's usually 15 or so. This is one of the most valuable things I do every day. to combat the grayness associated with my chronic pain and disability that I have now. This has been going on for several years. So it's always there. So gratitude lists help me with this. Eight, I say the Serenity Prayer, and I always write down as a reminder some troublesome things I can, in fact, cannot change. I wrote cannot colon, and I write some things in there. And then I write down underneath can, and I write down some things there. And the can, as you would expect, it's always just me. I'm the only thing I can change. I can change my attitude. I can change my priorities. I can change my actions, but it's it. I can't change anybody else or anything out there, no matter how screwed up things might be. Then I say the third step prayer. I listen carefully to each line. Sometimes I say my own version of the third step prayer. It's a little bit different, but it's a little more clear to me. Then I say the seventh step prayer. And you know, the last statement of the seventh step prayer says, grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. And I say, specifically, God. And then I put on some things that are in part of my to-do list or my action plan, what I'm trying to do. So typically I will say, specifically, God, help me today to live in faith and acceptance and abstinence and hope and surrender. Now notice I'm focused on solutions, not the negatives, as I said before. Focusing on living in the solutions. 11, I say the 11 step prayer as written in the AA 12 and 12, page 99. Then I say some of my own general prayers for my worksheet. This is my worksheet, by the way. It's about how long is it? It keeps growing. It's 23 pages now, for God's sakes. A lot of different stuff in there, and it keeps changing, but it's stuff that I need to have in front of me all the time to remind me. Because my forgetter is always there. Occasionally, I review my so-called articles of faith that are on my worksheet. I have articles of faith developed over 40 years. Usually, the only one I look at every day, but is number seven, which says, "I believe that God will give me the strength and courage to accept and deal with whatever life brings, especially the chronic pain and disability that I will have for the rest of my life. God's always with me, in me, beside me, around me, ready to help me on my journey, even carry me if need be." Then I do some faith affirmations. I say a few from my worksheet. I'll give you an example of those in a minute. I do some self-esteem affirmations. Affirmations are important to me, as I think I said somewhere along the line, I can change how I feel by changing the sentences going through my head, and that's what affirmations are about. I do some general affirmations, some pain and disability affirmations. I'll give you some examples in a second. I also have some basic reminders on my worksheet, like, remember, God doesn't fix things. He gives me the power to take the actions to fix things. And then I have a concluding prayer that's written on my worksheet. I usually do the same one every day. And then, if possible, quiet meditation. But the meditation up until the last few years or so was simply trying to quiet my brain a few minutes through either focused breathing or visualization technique, where I would lose myself from several minutes. And I could do that. I have a good visualization thing that I can do, but I can't quite get there anymore. Can't really quiet the body down that much because of the chronic pain that I now suffer from. It's as if the motor is always running too fast, right? You know, instead of 1200 RPM, it's running 1800 RPM. Very hard to calm it all down. So, as I said, my worksheet is about 20 pages plus, constantly changes. I mentioned the 11-step prayer. The last section of that prayer is written in the AA 12 and 12, talks about seeking to comfort, to understand, and to love rather than to be comforted. To be understood. Say it again. Seeking to comfort, understand, and love rather than to be comforted, be understood, and be loved. That's basically the cornerstone of my life today. OA has taught me that my job is to focus on giving, not getting. I mentioned the affirmations. For example, affirmations can, change my sadness into hope. They shift my mood, as I said. They reaffirm who I am and how I want to live. So, for example, faith affirmations, a couple examples. I say to myself, God, an honest plan of eating and the 12 steps are the foundation on which I build a successful and rewarding life. Another one, I leave tomorrow to God, but do today what I think God would have me do to prepare for tomorrow. A self-esteem affirmation. Yes, I do work on self-esteem after all these years. Three examples. I am enough. I have enough. I do enough. Another one. I do not need others to see things my way in order to feel okay about myself. Another one. I love myself unconditionally as God loves me unconditionally. Pain and disability affirmations. One example. I accept my physical condition as what is. It's life, which is not to be wasted. I'll accept and deal with it the way I think God would have me. My objective is to be as useful to him and others as possible within my physical limitations. General affirmations. I keep my thoughts hopeful, positive, and loving. It's within my power to do this. And I meet my responsibilities to OA. If not me, who? If not now, when? I also do a midday connection if I can't. I try to sometime during the middle of the day check in with higher power. Notice the word try. Doesn't always happen, but I often put it on the to-do list to try to help me remember sometime in the afternoon to check in. Say, does anything need to be adjusted here, God? I also try to do a few minutes before bedtime, simple prayers like, thank you, God, for the gift of another productive and useful day. Help me get the sleep I need tonight to wake up tomorrow. So, in concluding with step 11, we may think that prayer is the recitation of some words we memorized. We may only think of it in terms of asking for something. Step 11 suggests prayer is the best way to know what God wants us to do. That means we must think over our problems and talk to God about them. It means we must talk about God and try to apply our new insights, talk with God and try to apply our new insights. So faith in God's love will help us to love ourselves and to accept his love for us. Believe that whatever I think God is asking of me, he will give me the strength to do. So morning prayer helps me start the day focused and calm, and during the day, prayer can calm and focus. At night, prayer can help bring peaceful sleep. So what I just said, prayer can heal, calm, focus, energize, answer, connect me to, and summon the power of the universe. So I used to think prayer was total nonsense. You know what? It can work. It's just having a conversation with that quiet inner self deep within myself. Just having a quiet conversation. Lastly, step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Well, step 12 has three parts: spiritual awakening, carrying the message, and practicing these principles. Spiritual awakening for me was simply over time a new awareness of a force for good within me, an unsuspected inner resource. I tapped into something that was there all the time, something deep within that helps me see beyond my ego and my self-centeredness, the things that blocked me from that relationship were my character flaws and my disease. So there's clearly a force, something that wants me to be a living and useful human being and be all that I've been given the ability to be. I write a lot about higher power and prayer and stuff in my journal. Last Wednesday, I found myself writing in my journal, Quit trying to figure it out, Don. God is whatever is in me that keeps driving me to be more useful to my spouse, my children, my grandsons, and OA. Period. So God and I have conversations all the time. We argue. Guess who wins? Right. You got it. Big book, page 55. Quote, we found the great reality deep down within us. In the last analysis, it's only there that he may be found. Part two of the 12 step is carrying the message, passing it on, helping other compulsive eaters, and doing whatever I can to keep OA healthy. I accepted the idea from the beginning that service was not optional. It was a 12 step. Some sort of service as it was a requirement, not a choice. It was part of getting well and staying well. If I wanted what these people had, then I better do it. So that's one of my, Don's say it forever and ever and ever. Service is not optional. It's part of the 12 step. You're not given service. You're not trying to be of help in some way. Not everybody can do. I'm retired, so I can do as much as I want. Not everybody can do that. But doing something to help somebody or the OA program. So I break service into two parts. First is helping individuals, whether as a sponsor, workshop leader, or simply answering the phone call from help. The second part of many things that need to be done to keep meetings and OA alive, whether at the local, intergroup, regional, or world service. You know, at one time we had about almost 13,000 groups, and now we have 6,000 groups. So food for thought, guys. If you're not doing what you need to help the program keep going to save lives, think about that. So I don't have any choice there. And service is no choice. Page 97, big book. Helping others is the foundation stone of your recovery. A kindly act once in a while isn't enough. End of quote. Doctor's opinion, big book. Quote, strenuous work, one alcoholic with another, was vital to permanent recovery. 89, big book. Quote, practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as extensive work with other alcoholics. And last one, page 20, big book. Our very lives as ex-problem drinkers depend on our constant thought of others and how we may meet their needs. All right, I could go on and on about service, but let's wrap up with talking about principles and summarizing everything I've said today. Third part is practice these principles. Different ways of looking at the design for living laid out in our program. In addition to the basic principles underlying the steps and traditions, a lot of other ways that you can look at these. The shortest of all my lists, and I have lots of lists, my ultimate list is something taped to the inside of my journal on the back to the cover. It says Don's Will for God, and it's a list of 81 things. And that's the basis of my life. Those are my principles that I base my life on. And that's just an accumulation of all the kinds of things that we've been talking about here. So, what are the principles defined in the OA 12 and 12, right? First step, honesty. These are Don's ways of interpreting this. Practice honesty in all aspects of my life, particularly self-honesty. Accept that I'm not truly in control of anything except my own choices. I'm in charge of actions, but God's in charge of outcomes. Stay honest with myself. Accept I have a disease that I can't control with my own willpower. Second step is about hope. Cultivate an attitude of hope and positive thinking rather than gloominess and negativity and fault finding. Expect the best, not the worst. Third step, faith. Trust tomorrow to God, but do today what I think God would have me do to prepare for tomorrow.
That's 30 minutes, Don.
Thank you. Faith that God will give me what I need to deal with whatever comes. Surrender control of the world to God. That's a biggie. I'm not in charge. The world is generally screwed up in all directions at this point. Well, I'm not in charge. Okay, you got it, God. Four is about courage. Face and deal with life as it is, not as I wish it were or think it ought to be. Don't hide and isolate. Face and deal. Courage is not the absence of fear, it's doing it anyway. Again, back to that tough love sponsor. I don't care if you're afraid of it, Don, do it anyway. Watch for my own faults and my part in conflict. Step five is about integrity, according to the OA principles that it lists. Integrity, be open, be who I am, be part of the world, be my true self. No hiding out, no dissonance between inside and outside. I came to the program, well, on the outside, I seemed to be a functional human being working in the corporate world, being productive, etc. And I lived in a good place and I had the right house and my kids were in the right schools and all that stuff. And all I wanted to do was kill myself. Dissonance between the outside and the inside. Six is about willingness, as we talked about. Maintain an open mind, flexible, and accepting attitude toward life, knowing that the only constant in the world is change. Always be willing to learn and change and cooperate with the guidance of my higher power. Life is constant change and adaptation to the change. Seven, humility. Be teachable, be right-sized, be open-minded, no better than, no worse than. A simple child of God. Let go of status seeking. Let go of pride. Let go of thoughts or actions belittling myself or others. Trust God to change me. Wear the world like a loose garment, somebody has said. I don't know where that came from. Eight, step eight, self-discipline, and I add forgiveness to that. The book just says self-discipline, I add forgiveness. Practice self-discipline in my words and actions toward others so as to not hurt them. I have no right to hurt others for my own ego. Apply the daily discipline and structure I need to stay abstinent and in recovery. Practice forgiveness of myself and others. Hold no grudges. Give up blaming. The old slogan says, a closed mouth gathers no foot. Nine. Love and tolerance. I add tolerance. Practice unconditional love for myself and others. Accept others as they are, not as I wish them to be. Take full responsibility for my actions and my feelings. Step 10, perseverance. Keep on keeping on. Perseverance to work at growth every day in all areas of my life. Keep working at making it better, at making me better, at keeping my side of the street clean as I go, rather than accumulating regrets or guilt and shame. 11, spiritual awareness or spiritual development, pick your word. Let God be my compass instead of my logic. Cultivate things and people that nourish my soul. It's God that heals, but he requires my cooperation. Connect in quiet time with higher power within for strength and guidance. And 12, live a life of love and service. See what I can put in rather than take out. An attitude of how may I be of use? Allow God to serve others through me. Helping others who have my disease is not a choice. And that's why I am here today. And it's interesting that my voice is still intact. I was a little concerned that maybe after 3 hours my voice might wear out, but I'm still going okay. So I guess it's God's intent that I be here. All right, it is 4:36, my clock says. So I had a little bit more of summary to do, but I think we won't do that. I think we're running out of time here. So let me just close and then leave about 20 minutes for sharing. Let me just close by saying steps 2, 3, and 11 move me from a self-centered, materialistic foundation to a spiritual foundation. Steps 4, 5, 6, and 7, and 10 are about a transformation of thought and attitude, change thinking. 8 and 9 are about cleaning up the past and taking full responsibility for who I've been and who I am today. Step 12 is about helping other compulsive eaters and through living by the principles of these steps, making the world a little bit better place for who comes after us. I used to say my grandsons there, and I thought that maybe that's too personal. So I'll say for better, whoever is coming after us, fill in the blank. So, in closing, there is no magic. There is no magic. There's only, from my perspective and what I see it and what has happened to me over these years, there's only slowly developing miracles that happen when I put myself in a position to receive them from the spirit of the universe. Mostly easily defined for me is trying to live my life according to the principles of these steps and traditions of the program. So there's no magic elixir of transformation as far as I can see. You know, I visualize what it is that I want to be, then I visualize the action steps that may take me there, then I start taking the actions. If I can't see the later steps, I'm in the early steps, I'm just in the beginning, well, I take the early steps and trust that God will take me where I'm supposed to go. And that's what I did in steps two and three. I didn't know where I was going, but I trusted. I trust the process. I trust God. I take actions. Growth and change are the slow results of minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day actions that I take. Sometimes they're physical actions, such as changing my plan of eating or increasing my exercise. Sometimes they're emotional or mental, for example, letting go of the idea that if only certain people were different, I would be fine. Or sometimes they're all spiritual, as I do more things that nourish my soul. I have a list, by the way, of things that nourish my soul, things that bring me closer to my higher power. So, no magic, only actions and faith as I see it. Freedom is not free, but it's here if we want it. Thank you guys for asking me to come down and join you in New Jersey. I think I am. I'm in Connecticut, but talking in New Jersey. So thank you very much. And I'll stop there. And it looks like we've got about 20 minutes for sharing Q&As if you want, but I'd like to hear your sharing on, you know, what you got here and what you're doing with this and how program has saved your life or whatever you want to talk about. So I'll turn it back to the moderator. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Don. Thank you for not only sharing your experience, strength, and hope, but showing us a new way of looking at some of these things that we've been working on for a very long time. So thank you. I want to thank everybody who's been involved in this. Eileen is our event chair, and she's going to want to say a few words, I think. Gail was our timer. Stephen S. was our Zoom host, and together we can do what we cannot do alone. And as was spoken by Don, service is essential to keep, for many reasons, but also to keep OA functioning. So, Eileen, would you like to say something before we do
Just one minute before it ends and everybody scatters. I just want to thank Gail, Judy, and Stephen for their service on today's meeting. On behalf of North Jersey Intergroup, thank you, Don. Thank you seems insufficient in light of what you've taught us, your experience, strength, and hope today. But luckily, this is recorded so that I can go back and we all can go back and listen to it over and over. And so I'm grateful for the technology and very grateful for you for spending your afternoon with us here at North Jersey Intergroup. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
You're
Eileen.
very welcome. Thank you. Pass it on. That's the magic word. Pass it on.